The stories you've been hearing out of early childhood centres last week, this whole year really have been horrific. And if you're dropping your little ones or your grandkids off today, one of the things that might reassure you that it's all going to be okay is when you get a notification a few hours into the day, that little window on your phone that says a new story has been added to your centre's app. And you click through and you see that little face and it's covered in sand or paint or biscuit crumbs, and you know that they're having a great time. You can see that they're safe and happy with your own eyes as their educators snap pictures of the day's activities and upload them to the app, which is lovely. But some parents are finding that when your child graduates to big school, their data doesn't automatically go with them. When you enroll your kid in a daycare these days, there's an app for everything, and it's not just photos of your kids either. You have to upload sensitive documents like birth certificates. So where does the responsibility for protecting this data lie, and how do parents navigate it? If you've got experience with these apps, either in daycare or in school, I'd love to know how you found it, if you liked being able to see live updates from your kids, or if you're worried about who else might be able to see them too. With me is Niels Wouters. He's a Melbourne parent, and he's also a privacy and technology ethics researcher. Niels, I can't think of anyone more qualified to have this chat this morning.
Thanks for having me, Tegan.
So you've been trying to get your son's data removed for a while. What kind of data is on these apps?
Yeah, so that's right. So I think we're currently in sort of 10 months into the journey of trying to get his data removed. And in terms of the data that's on there, it's literally everything that you can imagine in terms of the data that gets produced while a child is attending childcare. So that includes, I guess, the number of nappies changed and what time of the day they have been changed, in case you're interested. What's been eaten for lunch and how much he's eaten, and what he's left behind, when he's napped, and to the point where you mentioned previously, indeed, birth certificate, contact details, emergency contact details, health history, literally everything.
So when you first took him to daycare, were you like, oh, this is so cute, it's nice to be able to know, or like, it's good to know that he ate all his lunch today, or he didn't have a nap, I know what to prepare for? Was that something that you were valuing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, those first few months or first few years, really, and he's six, so it's probably still an ongoing journey, but those first few years are wild, right? Like, you want to know, first of all, where is my son or where is my child? Is he having fun? Is he having a nice day? But also, what are we getting back at the end of the day? You know, is he going to be exhausted? Is he going to be tired? Probably all of the above, really. But you want to have that sort of near real-time contact, I suppose. And it's something that we as adults have become so accustomed to, right? Like, we're all on our mobile phones, we're all on our social networks. This is the sort of almost logical continuation of what we've created for ourselves, but then applied to our little ones.
So he's finished daycare now. He's at school, yep, as you said, and you wanted to get this data removed, and it's not been a straightforward process.
It's absolutely not been a straightforward journey. And look, for us, making sure that there are no remnants of data left behind, it's important. It's not a deal breaker, absolutely not. But I think my wife and I, we've tried really early on. So sort of January this year, we've started that process with the childcare centre and said, hey, our son has had an absolute fantastic 5 years here. Can we now make sure that, first of all, you know, our accounts are closed, there's no outstanding invoices, and oh yeah, also, we've been through the journey here with you using three apps over the course of 5 years. Can we just make sure that our user accounts are closed and all of the data that is no longer needed, can we just make sure that that's been removed? Initially, the childcare center said, yep, great, we've sent an email to our software vendor. So we were like, excellent, great. We gave it a couple of weeks, a couple of months. But sadly, we noticed that all of our accounts remained active and all of the data remained on there. And that was literally the same data that was on there on the day that our son left childcare. So yeah, numerous back and forths. We also sent emails to the software vendor who then said, look, we can't act on your behalf, even though it's your data or your son's data. We can only act on behalf of the childcare center. So the childcare center has to give us the heads up that they're fine with the data being removed. But in the same email, they also sent a memo to the childcare center saying that legally, supposedly, they're not required to remove the data. And they pointed to a handbook that the federal government has published in terms of how, you know, how data has to be managed at childcare centers or how childcare centers should operate. Now, part of that document does indeed say that some data has to be retained in terms of making sure that your CCS payments were valid. But that doesn't mean everything. And it doesn't mean when the nappies have been changed. And it doesn't mean what's been eaten for lunch. It doesn't mean photos. It doesn't even mean a birth certificate. There just needs to be a record that the identity of the child and or the parents has at some point been validated, has been checked. And that's absolutely happened. So look, we're now sort of 9 or 10 months into the journey. The data is still on there. I logged on again yesterday. My wife logged on again yesterday evening as well. Everything remains on there. And probably most shockingly, I think the birth certificate of my son is behind a public web link. It's not secured in any way, shape, or form. And don't get me wrong, this is a very complex URL. It's not a very straightforward URL, so it's quite complicated. But
it's there.
But it's there, and I think a person who is more technically inclined than I am could probably find a way to download such data. It would be illegal, don't get me wrong, but it is there. And I think in Australia, we just have, yeah, a history of cyber breaches. And for me, this is not a moment of if this is going to happen. I'm pretty confident that at some point this will happen. And I'm just really worried that that data gets out there. Not just my son's data, don't get me wrong. I think this applies to hundreds of thousands of young Australians. And that data is just so poorly protected at the moment.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. The voice you've just been hearing is that of Niels Wouters. He's a Melbourne parent. He's also a technology and ethics researcher. Just on the process it's taken to try to get his son's information taken off the apps that was shared with him while he was a parent, while his child was at daycare. His kid's now at school. And it's been much more complicated than he realised to get that data taken down. On the text line, Greg says, we're on an app for our grandchildren's daycare. All well and good to see them enjoying the activities, but so many photos, and often mostly of other kids. Well, also with me is Lucy Pangrazio, who's an associate professor at Deakin University and chief investigator at the Centre for the Digital Child. Lucy, these apps have had a fairly steep rise in Australia.
Yes, that's right, Tegan. I think some of them came about in the early 2010s, but then during the pandemic, they really did expand. And now we've seen, you know, huge kind of spread across the sector, really, with these all-in-one type of platforms.
Whose responsibility is to manage the sensitive data? Because I was really surprised to hear Neil say before that that when he asked the app directly to take his son's information down, they actually said that effectively he's not the client, the daycare's the client, and that some of this information is required to stay there. How tricky is this maze of who's the actual client here?
Yeah, it is really tricky, and we've done some investigation into the privacy policy of some of these apps and found that actually the language is very vague, and when you do a deep dive, you can actually see that some of this data is being shared pretty widely with a whole host of third parties, including Google Analytics and Facebook, a whole range, even YouTube, and then a whole lot of AI service providers as well. So I imagine what that means is that data is sort of really just gathers a life of its own. So even though it's the responsibility should really lie with the platform, it ends up spreading out across a whole range of third parties. And then that onus is put back onto the user, essentially, to kind of be accountable, and that might be the centre. So I guess the point is it's quite vague as to who's actually accountable and responsible for managing this data.
Lucy, I do want to talk to you about what you know about what parents' attitudes are as well. But for you, as someone who researches this, you're literally in a place called the Centre for the Digital Child. What's your response when you realise sort of how far this data's travelled to AI companies, etc.?
I think it's quite shocking, and we were quite shocked as researchers as well. And look, I think it's a really complicated situation because many of these platforms start with really good intentions. The founders have the best of intentions, but what happens is the company grows and it becomes valuable, and then the sort of business model means that they lose control essentially of this really sensitive information. So I think a lot of parents don't have the time to read the privacy policy. A lot of the childcare sector isn't probably not suitably prepared to work in these environments and understand the kinds of obligations that go with these technologies. And so I think we're in a situation where, as Niels has sort of beautifully captured, who's accountable ultimately for our kids' data. There will be changes next year when we hope that the Children's Online Privacy Code comes in, and that might put the onus back on the service providers to actually be a bit more accountable. But at the moment, I think it's very grey, and it is quite shocking as a researcher in this space.
You are about to hear from someone from the Australian Childcare Alliance, but briefly, Lucy, what are parents' attitudes towards this? Is there an expectation that they will be able to have all this information on tap via an app?
To be honest, I think a lot of parents do feel reassured, as you were sort of explaining before. They feel reassured to see photos of their children. We had one educator tell us his story about a parent who called them during the day and said, you know, is my child okay? My husband dropped him off. I haven't seen him in the photo feed today. I'm just wondering if he's still there. And the educator described this as quite a common practice and this proof of life, she described it as. So, that the anxieties, I guess, are allayed, but also, you know, increased through these apps. So, what comes next will be interesting.
Nesha Hutchinson is Vice President of the Australian Childcare Alliance, which is a peak body for childcare providers in the country. Nesha, I'm hearing Lucy tell this story about basically parents asking for photos when you're already juggling so many kids. What's the expectation like, and how are childcare centres handling it?
Great question, Tegan. It's an interesting development, as Lucy said, particularly in the last few years, with parents who, as she said, this proof of life, my goodness, what's going on? And there is research that's starting to come out that says that these constant alerts and updates and things don't actually relieve the anxiety. It actually creates more anxiety for families because, as Lucy was just saying, my goodness, I haven't had an update in the last 10 minutes. There must be something wrong. And it's difficult when you're working with children to keep these real-time updates going live. And anecdotally, we've heard of centres who are going back to just pen and paper updates, and at the end of the day, you know, we'll call you if there's a problem and we'll call you to let you know that your child is okay, but you can get this information at the end of the day rather than these real-time updates that are putting a lot of pressure on educators. And although I know families feel like it's making them relieve their anxiety, the studies are coming out showing it over time it actually increases it.
What about the sensitivity, the concerns around the storage of sensitive data? How are centres handling that?
As Neil said, we are required to keep certain information for certain periods of time. And in some cases, best practice for some bits of information is to keep that information for up to 45 years. And in the past, it was all paper records, and that was easy. You'd go through after 3 years and take away the information that you no longer need, and go through after 7 years, take out further information, and then the other information you need to keep for 25 years and throw in a good old archive box and stick it in the attic. There is no protocol to destroy information, hard copy or not, and with these apps coming on, again, this is all relatively new, and so there isn't really a protocol around that. I know that hard copies are sufficient, that it doesn't have to be stored digitally, or that you can store it, for example, burn it to, for example, a DVD or a CD or something and store that. But Niels is right. There isn't protocol around when and where and why and how to destroy this data and how to get it back off the World Wide Web. But, I mean, if Lucy's saying that there's a Children's Online Privacy Code coming out, that's possibly going to address some of that.
Here on ABC Radio National, you're listening to Life Matters. I'm Tegan Taylor with Nesha Hutchinson, who's the Vice President of the Australian Childcare Alliance, as well as Lucy Pangrazio, Associate Professor at the Deakin University and Chief Investigator at the Centre for the Digital Child, and Niels Wouters, who's a Melbourne parent who was looking at trying to get his kids' data off the daycare centre's apps, third-party apps, once his child left the daycare centre. Lucy, thinking about Niels's point and then also what we're hearing Nesha say, is it realistic for parents to opt out of these apps entirely if that's what they want to do?
I think it's really hard. We spoke to a number of parents, but a couple who did not feel comfortable about these apps. But, you know, for one parent, for example, who was actually in tech themselves, had no social media, but felt that when their child entered childcare, they had no choice but to sign up to these apps. And they made that compromise. And, you know, as researchers, we were just really interested in this sense of sort of forced, being forced into it and having very little alternative, no alternative really. And, you know, many of these platforms are like social media feeds. So, you know, if you are ethically opposed to, or you're not interested in being on social media and you have a small child, then you sort of end up being on there anyway because they are part of the enrolment process.
So, Niels, you took your issues with these apps to the next level. You've made a complaint to the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner. What's happened there?
So far, nothing has happened. So we filed that report, I think, late August, because that was the sort of 6 month mark, and we thought, like, this is a reasonable time frame, you know, for the key information to be removed. So far, we haven't heard back. So that report is in. I've been told that that can take several months. In the meantime, we keep checking for our data and making sure that it's still on there. Occasionally, I keep looking at those platforms, or the one platform in particular that we still have ongoing issues with. Looking at the app and just remain shocked about the level of private information that is on there, kids' names, kids' photos, et cetera, et cetera. But I think at the moment we're in this, really weird situation where we as parents, my wife and I, we don't really know what else to do. We keep speaking to other parents who, many parents surprisingly, haven't really paid attention. And they're like, oh, is that a thing? Is the data, does the data really stay on there? And they go and check in the evening, you know, after we've caught up, and they're like, oh my goodness, there's data from my son who's been out of care for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's still on there. All these photos are still on there. So I think it's really important that as a society we just understand that if our data is on these apps, the fact that your child leaves childcare doesn't automatically mean the data is removed. So something stays there. So there is some form of a digital footprint. As Lucy said as well, that data is clearly shared with other providers. And I think that's something for us all to be very conscious of. Mm. Some people might want it, or some people might not mind. But we as a family, we do mind.
We did reach out to the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner, and it said that although the OAIC does not comment on individual complaints, it had received some complaints related to apps used by schools and childcare centres. The statement said, while we won't comment on the particularities of those matters, it should be noted that under the Privacy Act, there is not currently an absolute right to request one's personal information be destroyed or erased. However, the OAIC is currently drafting the Children's Online Privacy Code, which will expand on the existing requirements of the Privacy Act as it relates to children's personal information. The statement says the OAIC is exploring including online services that process significant amounts of children's information, like apps used by schools and childcare centres, in the scope of the code. And that statement will be on the Life Matters website. Niels, if you had your time again, would you have consented to using these apps?
Oh, that's a very good question. Like, I think we checked so many consent boxes, you know, when we first signed up. I can't remember whether or not the app was an option to begin with. So I think it's just made really hard for parents to opt out. And I think as parents, it's this constant battle, this sort of inner battle. Like, yes, I want to know how my kid is doing. I want to know they're safe. I want to know they're having fun. I want to know they're learning something. But at the same time, indeed, if all these apps create is a significant digital footprint, I'd rather opt out and go back to pen and paper. I think childcare centres have a really rich history of doing that really well. I'm very conscious that it's extra work and extra workload. But I also, like I said to my wife and other families, like, I don't want childcare centres to become tech support or tech professionals. That's not their job. I'd rather them focus on kids. So if now all of a sudden they have this extra worry around removal of data, I'd rather them not worry about it or have to worry about it.
Niels, Lucy, Nesha, thank you all so much for joining me today. Niels Wouters is a Melbourne parent and a privacy and technology ethics researcher. Lucy Pangrazio is an associate professor at Deakin University and chief investigator at the Centre for the Digital Child. And Nesha Hutchinson is vice president of the Australian Childcare Alliance.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.